Shalom, everybody, and today we study Parashat Ekev. You can find it in the book of Deuteronomy, Dvarim, chapter 7, verse 12. V'haya Ekev tishmun et ha-mishpatim elu u'shmartem v'asitem otam. The study of Parashat Ekev is very, very important for all of us, especially nowadays, because I think that the big amount of people, most of humans living in this year are very, very mixed up because the world is in upheaval. Things are not steady. They're not balanced. We're talking about political, economical, in any means, social. The world is very unstable, and we're in the middle of a World War III. The result is that most people are so confused, and they have no idea what is the war about. Here you can see some manifestation of this war, as let's say, Russia-Ukraine war, the Israeli war in the Middle East with all different seven fronts and different seven enemies. And you think that you know what you're talking about, but we are talking about something much bigger that manifests itself through this conflict and this conflict and the economy, the American economy, which is on a basically in a very dangerous spot, and the Chinese economy, which is also in a dangerous spot. But what's the real story? When you study Kabbalah, you learn that what you see, what you perceive with your senses, and what you understand with your basic logic is just only branches, only some shadows that are being cast by the real thing. Very few people know what is the original thing that is casting the shadows. So this kind of little big problems, big problems, social problems, economical problems, security issues, AI, all of that stuff, we know that the world we know right now is very, very unstable. We're on a very fast course of change and transformation. The way we define a job, making a living, is changing so fast, most of us don't even understand what's going on, and therefore the immediate result is fear. Studying Parashat Ekev is going to help us to basically understand, A, what is that conflict all about? What is the war really about? And what do I, and where is my place as an individual human being in the chaotic picture of all of humanity that is right now on a very, very insecure path? So let us start with the Zohar of this parasha. The Zohar of this parasha is relating to the first paragraph of the parasha, which, as we said, it starts on Deuteronomy 7:12. V'haya ekev tishmun et ha-mishpatim eileh. And it should be when you listen to these laws and you observe and you do them, okay, if you observe and you do them, ושמר אדוני אלוהיך עליך את הבית. So God will observe for you the covenant, ואת החסד and the grace אשר נשבע לאבותיך, that he promised, that he vowed to your forefathers. ואהבך, verse 13, ואהבך וברכך, וירבך וברך פרי בטנך. And he will love you, he will multiply you, he will multiply you, he will bless you, multiply you, and will bless the fruit of your of your children and the fruit of your land, your grains, your oils, your wine, all of that, flocks. That's a general blessing. But you listen, there's a kind of a correl there's a kind of a conditioning. Okay, you have to observe those laws that we just being presented with in the previous two parashot and in the whole Torah before, then you will be blessed. And then God, verse 15, God will remove away every illness, every pain, every sorrow of Egypt, the evil sorrows of Egypt that you experienced before. You are not going to have them again. Okay, so it goes on about the bliss and so on. I won't go into the details. And then what's important is that in the end of that paragraph comes the main idea. That's Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. ואכלת ושבעת וברכת את אדוני אלוהיך על הארץ הטובה אשר נתן לך. And you should eat, you should satiate, and you should bless the Lord your God for the good land that he gave to you. Okay? This is the key sentence, the key verse for a lot of stuff, but it is connected from the beginning, and let us try to understand. On the superficial level, it is said from here that when you eat and when you satiate, you should make a blessing to God. So in the Jewish law, you have to make a blessing before you enjoy anything, if it is food, drinks, enjoying a good smell, whatever. You see the ocean after you haven't seen the ocean for a long time, you make a blessing. You see a lightning and then you hear the thunder, you make a blessing. There's a lot of stuff. You get a new piece of clothing, you make a blessing. The blessing for everything. Okay, you see the king of a country, the president of a powerful country, you make a blessing. Well, what is the whole thing about making blessings about? And most people get it wrong, and this is part of figuring out understanding what is humanity going through. What are we fighting for? Even if you're not aware of it, you are part of this World War III. It's big, it's overwhelming, it's everywhere. And let us understand. Because if you understand what this war is about, it will be much, much easier for you to go through this war and be on the winning side. So let us read how the Zohar deals with that in the beginning of the Zohar commentary of Hasulam. So the Zohar is quoting the paragraph that I just read to you guys, starting, as I said, in the beginning of the parasha, ending chapter 8, verse 10. Pikudada levachal lekutsha brichu. Alma de achil veshate, veitanei be alma. Vei la barich ikre gazla lekabe kutsha brichu, dichtib gozel avivimo. Vau kmuch ukmuach havraya. Begin de virkhan de barich barnash lekutsha brichu. עתה להמשכת חיין ממקורה דחיי, לשמי דקודשה בריך הוא קדישה, ולערכה עלי מהו משחה עילה, ועתה להתמשכה מיתמן לכל עלמא. Translation and explanation. It is a mitzvah, and we know mitzvah. We learned about it again and again. Mitzvah is wrongly translated as a commandment. It is not. This is part of the war I'm talking about. Mitzvah is, according to the Zohar, as we're going to explain, it is a mitzvah. Mitzvah is coming, according to the Zohar, to the Kabbalists, it's coming from the word to connect, to team with. to basically tap into. Okay, it is a mitzvah. לברך את הקדוש ברוך הוא על כל מה שאכל ושתה ונהנה בעולם הזה. It is a mitzvah to bless God for all what a person eats, drinks, and enjoys in this physical world. ואם אינו מברך, and if he is not blessing, נקרא גזלן לקדוש ברוך הוא. He is called a robber relatively to God. שכתוב גוזל אבי ואמו. And that relates to Proverbs 28. He's robbing his father and his mother. והעמידו החברים and the friends, which means the colleagues of the Zohar, that are participating in that great project of writing the Zohar, and the friend said that means that relates to God. משום שהברכות שאדם מברך את הקדוש ברוך הוא, since the blessings that a person is blessing God, okay, they come, באים להמשיך חיים מכוח חיים. Their purpose is to draw life from the source of life. Okay? Listen carefully. A lot of people, if you're Jewish, you're being raised that God gave you the food, he gave you a shelter over your head, he gave you a lot of stuff, and you have to be appreciative and you have to be thankful all the time. And that's why you need to pray in order to be thankful for all what you've got. And if you don't have enough, let's say sustenance or health, whatever, you are supposed to pray and ask for what you need. Okay, but that's also part of the prayer system that is made of many blessings. Okay, so it's like I'm blessing God, so he will award me with more bliss. And if I'm not going to bless God, he is going to basically close the tap and the bliss won't come into my life. But here you have to listen carefully to the way the Zohar describes it. Baim lamshich chayim im kor chayim. The blessings that the person is saying, their purpose is to draw life from the source of life. It doesn't say to be thankful. It says to draw light from the source of life. Which lishmo hakadosh el hakadosh, where to draw that light into, or this life force, into lishmo hakadosh el hakadosh, into his the holy name of God. Ulehariq alav meoto shemen ha'elyon, and when you make those blessings with that state of mind, you are basically causing the flow of the holy divine ointment, divine oil, which is a divine oil. We're not talking about a physical oil. And this oil, adds Rabbi Ashlag, Shehu Shefa Chokhmah. What is this oil? This is the bliss of the upper Sefirot from coming from Sefirat Chokhmah, which is generally a name for the whole of God's bliss when it descends to our plane of existence. ולהריק על מותו שמן העליון שהוא שפע החוכמה, משם בא להימשך בכל העולם. And from there, you know, after we made the blessing and we opened the funnel of bliss to come from above to below, then the holy oil is already drawn into the rest of the world. What are we talking about? Why do we need to bless everything? Now, so the Zohar continues, verse 2. וכתוב ואכלת בשיבה טוב וארכת, you should eat, you should be satiated, and you should bless the Lord your God. ובאלו הברכות מריק האדם במילים אלו שפע מאותו מקור העליון. So again, with these blessings, a person is drawing the above bliss from the original divine source, and all the other levels are being blessed by that. They're being watered, they're being fed by that, and they're being fulfilled with bliss. And now that all the other levels, all the other worlds are being fulfilled with that bliss, then all of them are being blessed all together. And then verse 3, we just learned part of it. ועל כן צריך אדם לשום רצונו בסוד הברכות. Therefore, a person must have his desire focused on the secret of these blessings. So when the person is making the blessing, the forefathers are going to be blessed. Who are the forefathers? Rabbi Ashlag adds, these are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they are the chariots of the upper Sefirot, Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet. And also the sons, which are Netzach, Hod, Yesod. Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, this is the upper triangle of the upper world, and Netzach, Hod, Yesod, this is the lower triangle, what is called the Star of David symbol, for the system that funnels bliss into our reality. And then when that happens, lokeach chelko mel habrachot, then he takes his share from those blessings from to the whole world from above to below. Kivan sheshmo shel hakadosh baruch hu nitbarech misham, in that moment, since the name of God is being blessed, okay, then the first part, chelek harishon melo habrachot, yored veshore al roshu shel hamevarech. The first part of these blessings comes down and dwells above the head of the person who's making the blessing. וכבר עמדנו, we already explained it other places, שכתוב בכל המקום אשר אזכיר את שמי, אבוא אליך וברכתיך. This is relating to a blessing, to of that God, one of God's announcements, בכל המקום אשר אזכיר את שמי. This is from Exodus 20:20, and it says, every place that I mention my name, I will come to you and will bless you. Okay. Now, I don't want you to be mixed. I'll try to explain all what we just read. Okay, what it is that we read? And what is the connection to the upheaval on our planet, among humanity? Everywhere you go, you find some kind of upheaval happening right now. And the answer is like this. We have to understand. When we are looking at the reality in front of us, when we study Kabbalah, we study carefully the idea that whatever we can perceive with our five senses is only just branches. It's only just shadows of a real reality that our senses are incapable of understanding or experiencing. So we can only relate to what we do experience and we do see. Okay, but we have to remember, whatever we do experience, we do see on a sensual level and the logical level, it's already just the outer layer of a reality that is much more complicated, much more sophisticated. and has many, many more than what we can see and understand. So, what is the idea about? And the idea that the Torah is giving us over here is very important to understand. Humanity is divided into two parts, okay? But it's not right and left the way the media is trying to explain to us. This is a decoy. This is just to mix us up. The real fault line where humanity divides is between one part of humanity is very much into the idea of everything is physical, everything is rational, the evolutionary process is in control, and it's a survival of the fittest. Which means reality, there's no one running the show, it's only the survival of the fittest, and therefore we are just very sophisticated animals, but there's nothing else that divides between us and animals. We're just naked apes, more sophisticated, still the desire, the needs are the same. We need shelter, we need control over our well-being. Every animal has instincts to achieve that. Our instincts are not that much developed, so we have to experience by trial and error and learn from others how to achieve our comfort, our well-being by achieving security. Okay, so this idea started to take place in the mainstream towards the 19th century. And when we are talking about the survival of the fittest, the result was few political theories. One of them is communism. It says, basically, human beings are very primitive by nature. We just show off to be sophisticated. And the only way to stop chaos and wars and stuff like this, we have to have very just share to every human being in the wealth of humanity. And when we do that, humanity will finally find peace and comfort. However, since we're not there yet, how are we going to get there yet? We have to understand, because the injustice of sharing the wealth of the planet among humans, the fault is in the hands of the rich ones, the ones who gain the most of the wealth of humanity, of the planet. And therefore, we have to eliminate the class, that class that is making the money and exploiting the working class. And when we destroy those people who exploit the others, they are the ones who are exploiting, they are the evil, which means if you have a lot of money, much, much, much above your share of the wealth of humanity, by average, you probably took it by, unjust ways. And therefore, society has to take it back from you and maybe eliminate you because you won't be able to change your nature. Okay? So, therefore, we can see in the history, I'm just making it really simplified. Okay? I'm not going to the history of communism. But remember, let's go back to where it begins. It begins with we are sophisticated animals, and you just, the same way you need to improve the breed of the flocks by, that's how farmers are doing for so many centuries or more, herders. It's like you just remove we have Okay, we just have to remove the enemies of society, but the main idea is that the power that is ruling history is a survival of the fittest. And because of that, we have, with our logic, to find the enemies of the injustice, of the division of the wealth among the people, and then the world will be better. Nazism also came with the same idea. There are some enemies to the division, the proper division of wealth, but there are, because of the survival of the fittest, the Aryan race are on top because they're the most successful, the most powerful, and therefore they have the right to exploit the other races, to conquer, to enslave, to kill, just with the higher good, to make the world a better place to live in. So, okay, the result was a huge massacre in the 20th century that just made things worse till part of humanity simply rose against the communists on one side and the Nazis on the other side, and the world became a little bit better, not really much better, but still, it didn't solve the problem. Why am I bringing that? Because the war is not over yet. Meanwhile, during the 19th, 20th, and 21st century, the idea that the world is basically based on random, which means the survival of the fittest, this idea is the most powerful religion because it's a belief system. The most powerful religion. What's the problem with that? That idea says what you see is what you get, which means the world is just every human being and the world around us is just a bunch of molecules assembled in this way or another. And again, we have here the survival of the fittest. There's an evolution. But evolution is based on who is stronger. Is the one that takes over. Okay, this is one side. And right now, because that idea took almost over everything, as I said many times before, it's the mainstream in academy, the mainstream in education, the mainstream in culture, the mainstream in society. Everywhere, this is the ruling religion. Okay? But there's also another religion. There's another religion that is also materialistic, the same. This religion that is to going together with a previous religion is saying that there is God, and God is running the world from above, and he is punishing and rewarding according to his opinions. I don't see a lot of difference between the two religions. One is very medieval religion, and it's a direct continuation from the dark era of idol worshiping. What does it mean? It means very simply that there's a deity, a power above. He loves us and he hates the others. He loves the followers, he hates the infidels. Okay? By the way, you have people following this kind of religion among the Jews, among the Christians, and among the Muslims. All of these are false religions that are basically rooted in idol worshiping. Why? And I'll explain to you why. We just read what the Zohar was saying. What the Zohar was saying is totally else, something totally else. The Zohar is saying, what is the purpose of humanity? We are here to draw the bliss from the upper world. Okay? And what does it mean? That we have a multidimensional world. Maybe a double world. We have the spiritual realm, the divine realm that is beyond the five senses and the logic of the five senses. And we have the physical realm. The same way a human being has a double reality. We have the physical body, yes, that it is made, composed of atoms, molecules, structures, and so on, which basically follow the laws of nature, physics, chemistry, and so on and so forth. However, we also have a higher dimension, which is called a soul. And the soul is a vessel for the divine light of God. And the purpose of every human being is to be a vessel for that divine light. And therefore, a human being must focus his or her desires, intentions, awareness that what happens in the physical dimension is a manifestation of the metaphysical dimension, which means if we managed to draw in the spiritual light of the creation, it starts with let there be light. And what kind of a light? The physical light appears only on the fourth day when the sun, the moon, and the stars appear in the story of Genesis. We are talking about that light that God said, let there be light. We're talking about, and God saw the light that is good. And the Zohar is saying to show that everything that is good originates from that original light. So here, when we talk about that light, is the light of bliss, which is, in other words, to simplify it, positive energy, bliss, fulfillment, true, real, lasting fulfillment, which means when we as human beings realize that the world that we live in has two dimensions and they are going hand in hand, which means one depends on the other. Who connects the two realities together? Our minds, our hearts, our consciousness. All our lives, we are supposed to develop that consciousness because the result of success is not because we are stronger. The result of success is because we can connect the two realms together. We can unify the two realms together, the spiritual and the physical, the divine and the mundane, the unseen and with the visible reality, the soul and the vessel, and the soul and the body, the light and the vessel. This is basically the idea. Now, the war that we are witnessing is terrible, and I explain why. And it's not right and left because among people who side with the right, you can find of both sides. We have people on the right, which means I'm talking about the political right, everywhere, that they are very much into that idea. It's the survival of the fittest, okay? And each one of them has his own justification why to follow the right, which is a, tradition, family. Why? Because logic shows that when groups of people have common tradition and common ideas and they stick to each other and they fight for each other, then these groups have more chances to create a steady, peaceful society when people obey the law, because the law is enforced in order to, and that society will survive because it is stronger and fitter to deal with to on that to deal with the competition over the resources of our planet. Okay, you have the same thing on the left. People, as we said, communism and so on, survival of the fittest, how we are going to deal with it. However, there's another idea, the idea that a human being has a dual identity. And that identity is a true identity of every person. And in order to understand that, that's what the Zohar is saying. If a person does not bless God when he enjoys life, he is a robber, he is a thief. And what does it mean? Why does the Torah say, we just read last week, Parashat Vayetchanan, we just read what is known by mistake, the Ten Commandments, and is really Aseret Adibot, the Ten Sayings. God is giving us 10 major principles. He's giving us really 613, but 10 of them are like some major principle, not everything, but major. And it says, do not steal. Why shouldn't you steal? And according to what we just read, when you get something, there are many ways to get it. You can buy it from somebody else. You can work and create it from raw materials. You can also, by force, take it for somebody who made the effort to create it. Okay? And what the Torah is saying, basically, according to the Zohar, stealing is wrong because, as we said, everything in this universe is comprised of two dimensions. There is the physical and there is the metaphysical. There's the material and there is the divine. When you want, let's say, a cake, there is the cake itself, which is made of all kinds of materials. It could be grains, could be flour, sugar, oil, whatever you put in the cake. However, there is also the metaphysical dimension, the bliss that of God that flows through the cake. So when you eat the cake without making a blessing, which means you eat because A, you're hungry, two, the cake is available, and three, you can. The doctor didn't tell you shouldn't eat the cake, and even if he told you, never mind, it's available. So here, what the Zohar is saying, you have to look at the cake not as most people today, as just a pile of calories and good taste, if it is whatever. You have to look at the cake as a multidimensional object. Yes, there are the materials, but there's also the godly part in the cake. And when you make a blessing over the cake, you activate a flow of spiritual bliss into that cake and into your own soul. The cake is just a mean, okay? But the real goal is to awaken the flow in the upper world so the bliss can flow into the physical world. Now, when you live this kind of an idea, that reminds me, the debate that was a great debate during the beginning of the American, the United States of America. And for the beginning of it, there was a big debate about the Constitution. And it took years to generate the American Constitution. Lots of publications, lots of arguments, lots of debates, and so on, until finally, so many people got together to create what we know as the American Constitution. But one of the founding fathers of America, I don't remember the name, I think it was Thomas Jefferson, who said, this Constitution was made only for people who believe in God. Why? Because when you do believe in God, really, the God that the Zohar is talking about, you don't steal even though you know nobody's watching. You do not abuse your power as a judge, a policeman, a politician, not because you know they're watching you, but because you know when you When you do not follow the rules of the Torah of honesty, accountability, do not steal, do not kill, do not covet, when you follow these rules because you know that following these rules allow you to participate in the great journey of humanity. Connecting to God's bliss. God's bliss is infinite. Why is it that we cannot have that God's bliss just by saying, hello, I want it? And the answer is, as we studied so many times, in the beginning, God created us having all of it already. How do I know? Read verse 5 in chapter 1 in Genesis. And there was a night, there was a day, one day. The night is the creation, it's dark. Because it's only about wanting, being a vessel. The vessel by itself is dark, like the dark side of the moon. Okay? And there was a day, the light, God's light. When God's light infiltrates and fulfills the vessel, the creation, you have one day. Everything is one, everything is blissful, everything is in harmony. However, we said because God created us in his image, mental image means we needed to create it on our own. We needed to share and to experience the giving. That could not happen when everything is one, when everything is all connected. So this world had to be created. And for that purpose, the world had to be broken. So the vessels were broken, and we can see that on the second day of the creation when God is only separating. The separation created the breaking of everything. And now, since a lot of stuff is not completed, our job is to raise the opportunities from the ground and fix stuff, create stuff. That's the history of humanity. Why are we doing that? We're doing that because we want the infinite bliss of the Creator to flow into our world through our own actions. This is the purpose of the creation. When we follow that, we will be honest, not because of the police, not because of somebody watching out, not because of PR. We will be honest because we know there are rules how the light of bliss flows through the universe. We understand the rules. We understand that stolen, whatever is stolen, stolen property, stolen objects, stolen ideas, stolen power cannot have any bliss in it. Okay, so why eating without a blessing is stealing? Because it doesn't have a bliss inside. You need to consciously activate the flow of light through the food you eat, through any kind of object that you're using. You need to have that awareness of dual realms that we live in. And when you focus on that, your focal point is changing. You realize that when societies are imbalanced, it's not because, as the Torah is speaking about this parasha, it's not because there are droughts or because the rich are taking the food from the poor. It's much deeper than that. When people are aware of the flow of the bliss, there will be much more flow. There will be bliss for everybody. When we're talking about bliss, it's going to be internal and external. And that means when you have external and internal bliss, you have less chances to go fat. Why? You will be fulfilled in both dimensions when you eat. And therefore, you don't have the need to eat more than what you need. Okay? If you understand what I'm talking about. Or You will never cheat somebody, not because you're afraid to be caught, but because you know that cheating is a wrong way to success. Because you won't have real true success when you cheat, because that's the way God created it. And that Moses repeats again and again through all the parashot of the book of Deuteronomy. You follow and observe, and it says, I just read it before, Ushmartem. Where was it? We have it again, go back to the beginning of Ekev. Deuteronomy 7:12. When you listen to these laws, Ushmartem, and you will observe, Ve'asitem, and you will act upon them. Okay, what does it mean? Why do we need three different verbs? Listening, observing, and doing, acting upon it. It's all about realizing that the rules, we are engineers of light. And through our blessings, through our awareness, we force the light to flow from the upper realms, from the source of life, which is basically the origin of creation, all the way down through the funnels into what we have, which means when I steal or cheat, I don't have bliss in what I do. We can see nations. They were so brilliant and so powerful, and they conquered the world and disappeared from the face of the earth. Where is the great empire of Alexander the Great? It's gone, leaving nothing. Why? Because it was based on basically colonialism, which means to take over what belongs to others. Okay? Why did Hanukkah happen? Because it was a colonial takeover of Hellenistic rule that took over the land it is known as Israel, was known then as Judea. Okay? They took over the land and slowly, slowly took over from the original native inhabitants of the land, most of them were Jews, and turn it into Hellenistic lands. The Jews didn't like it. Later on, what happened? That Hellenism disappeared. It was succeeded by what we call the Western civilization, and later on by Islam. All of them colonized huge lands, okay? Occupied the lands, subjugated the natives to new languages, to new religions, and took over. What happened to them? Okay, so you see, this is the nature of the world. This is the nature of the world. Are they really successful? What does it mean, success? Success means, according to the Zohar, is when you feel that the God's bliss is fulfilling whatever you touch and do. That is success. However, if you are always angry, upset, feeling lack, feeling what's the word? Insecure, and therefore you have to fight and conquer more lands, you failed. You failed. So I want to remind you again, we are in World War III. The war zone is between those schools of thought. They don't declare themselves so much a school of thought, but those path of thinking that either looks at their reality as godless reality, which is a guarantee for a very empty life, full of pain, because the pain is a result of lack of fulfillment, which means the light of the Creator, if he's not flowing through your life, through the food you eat, through the clothes you're wearing, through the house you're living in, through everything you do and say. If you're not aware of God's presence as an infinite power in your life, you are a thief. What does it mean? You acquire houses, you will feel always something's missing. You're not really comfortable in your house. You're not really comfortable with the food you eat. It's never really fulfilling all the way in. And when there is a fulfillment, it is not long lasting. This is part of humanity. This part also belongs to those people that think that there's a God up there, which is a deity with, like, an old man with a white long beard sitting on a throne. I'm simplifying it. And he's judging everybody. And he's going to punish all the sinners. And he's judging, and there's a hell, and there is a doomsday, and all of that stuff. And you have to follow and obey. What's the difference? What's the difference? God is there, you are here, and you are alone, deprived of any godliness. And it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or Christian or Muslim or any other religions, it's idol worshiping. The real awareness is the awareness that I am a creature of light and spirituality. Worshiping light means being God's light, being God's vessel, realizing that God created us to enjoy his bliss. And in order to do that, we need to observe the mitzvot, which means we need to tap into the network of the tree of life. We need to be aware of our duty to draw down God's bliss into our world through meditation, through prayer, through actions. And after you realize that, you will be an honest human being, not because somebody is watching you, is because you feel God's presence wherever you go. How can you cheat that presence by stealing? How can you cheat that presence by killing? Killing a human being that has a divine, immortal soul? Like, how could you do something like this? You're basically sinning against the whole universe. What about others? What about other ideas? It's all about, and that's why when we read the Torah, and the Torah says, if you eat and you bless and you'll be satiated and you bless, and you realize that you are blessed because you made a blessing, because you awaken, you're not just eating food, you're eating food in order to bring God's bliss into this world, into your body, into your life. But if you forget that, you don't observe that, which means you do not attach to the awareness and take position, then what does it say? You will forget the Lord your God, chapter 8, verse 11. And then you will eat, to verse 12, and you will satiate, and you build good houses. And you settle them. And you'll have a lot of cattle and flocks and money and silver and gold, everything. And your heart will rise to pride. And you will forget the Lord your God. And when you forget, what does it mean forget? It's the same letters, shachach, as choshech. Darkness, your heart become numb. Your heart will become dark. Then nothing will satiate you anymore. Nothing will fulfill you anymore. Only maybe for a short really time. If you do that, then things are not going to be your way. However, when you do that, when you are having that awareness of the dual nature of reality. And you meditate on that to train your brain to see the duality, to train the brain to see that the body and the soul are not two separate things. It's two dimensions of the same thing. A human being has a physical dimension and a metaphysical dimension. And if you do that, and the Zohar says, chapter and about, and the Torah says, chapter 10, verse 12, Vata Yisrael, ma Adonai Eloheicha shoyel mimach. And now, Israel, what is the Lord your God asking from you? Just to have awe. When you have awe, is about sight, yirah, sight and awareness. When you have that awareness, then you follow God wherever you go. It's when you eat and when you sleep, when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night. God is present in everything you touch. And when you observe the laws, you observe the laws of the flow of bliss in your life. And the result will be a society that is full of justice. Why justice? Because when people will respect each other, really, truly, only when they realize that the other human being is also God's vessel of light. You can't abuse that right. Because you have a problem with God, not with that person. Not with the God that's sitting on a throne up in heaven, far, far, far away from here. But the God that is the power that activates, that gives life to everything inside the body, outside the body, over there and over there, everywhere. There's no place void from his presence. When we have that awareness, we behave differently. We do not abuse power so easily. Some people are very powerful because they're physically powerful. Some people are powerful because they have money, connections, whatever. But the moment you give people power, they have the tendency to abuse the power unless they have awe. They understand their rules and their laws. We are in the middle of World War III. The fault lines, the battlefields are here in consciousness, the consciousness of humanity. Are we going to create a whole of humanity that is so dry, as Ezekiel the prophet spoke about the dry bones? You have to remember that in Hebrew, bones is atzamot. Atzamot, it's the same letters of atzmut, the essence. When you dry the essence, Ezekiel, of course, when God is saying to him, human, will these bones ever live? And Ezekiel, the prophet, has no idea. He says, Hashem Elokim atah yadata, Lord, you, Lord, your God. Only you know, and the miracle will happen. And the light of bliss will flow through the bones, and they will be resurrected. What we see around is dry bones. People's awareness is dried of the real, true essence. What is the essence? The essence of life, which is flowing through everything. It flows and it flows, however, as the Torah is saying, when you're not aware of it, when you're not asking for it, when you're not blessing it daily, it doesn't flow. Things start to wilt when there's no flow. They got dry. And then nations fall apart because they get dry. What I mean, you get dry, you don't have the zest anymore. The excitement of living, creating, being a nation, being a society that generates stuff that improves the whole world. You're not there anymore. You're not there anymore. So you wilt and you simply die away. And you see that all over the world. People don't feel that. So there's no honesty. There's no honesty in trade. There's no honesty in public service. People, you cannot have everyone monitored. And the question is, who is the one who's monitoring? So the ideas are coming about deep state and stuff like it's all about one thing. The moment you don't realize that rules and the rules are much stronger, bigger than you. So you don't realize that you have to follow the rules, you have to observe them, observe to realize that in everything, being honest, being a person of a being generous, it's all the way to follow that God that we are talking about. That is not sitting on a throne up there. That God, that his light is the source of the living of every creature, every object. You want to connect to that place. You have to awaken that place by saying the blessings, by basically realizing you cannot cheat the flow of light of God. Okay. The sooner we get that idea, the sooner we train ourselves to make blessings over the food, over whatever we enjoy, to realize that God is infinite all over around us. We just have to make space for him inside our hearts and ask him to come down and invite him in to fulfill us. When we meditate on that, when we bless that, when we pray for that, we're aware of it. And then we create a society of people that do believe in that. And therefore, they will not steal or kill because that's not the way to achieve fulfillment. Why are you cheating? When we have that awareness, the awareness that Kabbalah is teaching us, all of us, then everything will be understood. Then we will win the war just by our thoughts and consciousness. Then we will feel the eternal light of God flowing through our bodies, through the blessing, through the awareness, through when you study the Zohar and you invite the holy light in you. That's observing. That's Ushmartem. And that is the essence of life. How to wake up the dead, those people, those part of our consciousness that are not in tune to God's light. A lot of work to do, but this is what the war is about. And because of that, you will never find justice. You'll never find a balanced economy when people are trying just to cheat each other. Only when people are really honest, because they answer to a higher authority, not to the authority of human beings, to a higher authority. Then honesty will be a trait that doesn't disappear that much, that fast. Integrity, productivity. You're not doing it for someone, you're doing it for your own sake. Because that will get you closer to God's light. And when you live like this, you will see how you train your brain, and then the bliss will flow in bigger and bigger amounts in your heart, in your brain, everywhere in your body. And things are going to be much better. Thank you so much. Be careful, be aware. Don't lose the war. Good luck.